know, we're going to talk with Michael Sandoval at Western Wire about, you know, our legislators. And now that we've made a switch, we've got a Democrat governor, Democrat House, Democrat Senate here in Colorado. Are they going to listen to the will of the people as far as oil and gas, or are they going to take things into their own hands? I don't know. So Michael Sandoval is the managing editor with Western Wire, and that is a project of Western Energy Alliance. And we invited him on today because we are concerned about what is going to happen next. Michael, welcome to the Americhick Show.
Good morning, Molly and Kim. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. So Michael, you know, we dodged a bullet. We feel like it was a lot of hard work, that we were all working hard to make sure Prop 112 didn't pass, and that was the 2,500-foot setback on oil and gas, which they thought was pretty much going to shut down,
oil and gas exploration
here in Colorado. And that would have cost us a lot of money and a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunity. But what now that we have the Democrats in power? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think one of the things we should probably make sure we keep track of is what is going on the Democratic side. Based on some of the reporting I've done at Western Wire, and other folks have taken comments in the days following the election. By no means did the defeat of Prop 112 settle the issue. We're going to see somewhat of a, in my opinion, a battle between some of the factions within the Democratic Party. You had a very active and vocal House in this past session, led by outgoing State Representative Joe Salazar, who ran for Attorney General. The coverage that we did on his bill, his Martinez bill, which was a look to try to enforce a Colorado Court of Appeals decision on whether or not the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission should reprioritize instead of a balancing test between competing concerns of industry growth and environment and health, to prioritize health over everything, health and environment. And that is actually still, that case has been appealed to the state Supreme Court, and last month Colorado Supreme Court heard that case. So as a wild card to everything else we could talk about in the state legislature or with the new incoming governor Polis, sometime in the spring, probably March through May, we're not quite sure when they would issue the decision, but that could be coming out of the Colorado Supreme Court. So that might help frame some of the debate in the state legislature. But, you know, we need to look at who are sort of the players. We're going to have a new House Speaker in Casey Becker.
Mm-hmm.
She has been clear that she wants to deal with this pretty, quickly. I think her comment after the election was, let's just put the oil and gas wars to bed. Put the oil and gas wars to bed.
Wars to bed. Okay.
Wars. And she's also said that she's not looking to drive the industry from the state, but something needs to be done. Otherwise, the issue would come back to the ballot box in 2 years.
So do you think that's positive? It seems to me I'm hearing some positive words there.
Well, no, it's not. And not that I mean, From a reporter's point of view, what do you think the state legislature is going to want to tackle? Is it going to want to tackle education, transportation, and healthcare first? Those are probably going to be the top priorities. Oil and gas will be an issue, but I think the Democrats want to tackle some of their other priorities pretty quickly. And I think these comments seem to me to indicate, some level of, this might be a distraction to the main, the main issues. There's also probably a gun issue in there, several other issues that could come up as they do in state legislature budget and everything that have nothing to do with oil and gas overall. So you have those comments. You have someone who was elected Her name is Emily Sirota. She's a new state representative from Denver. Her husband is a journalist, David Sirota. She looks to be filling that Representative Salazar sort of stridently anti-oil and gas position. So there may be some tension in the House, in the state Senate, which went from Republican to Democrat. The new Senate president, Leroy Garcia, who's out of Pueblo, probably a more moderate Democrat. So it'll be interesting to see if the bills originate in the state Senate, what kind of bills there might be. And, of course, those bills are currently being submitted over the next couple of weeks. So we'll start to get a better idea of just exactly what, you know, bill titles and what direction, the early direction we're gonna get. And then, of course, you know, the big X factor is where is Governor-elect Polis going to come down? I think Governor Hickenlooper has tried to do some, for lack of a better word, some, you know, tempering of concern with some of the comments he's given. I think there was a quote. I want to make sure I get it correctly. I don't think this is from Governor Hickenlooper just in the last couple of days. I don't think he's going to be someone who comes in and tries to ram violently unpopular measures down people's throats, unquote. He says he's not concerned, but you know, we have to weigh that against what then U.S. Representative Jared Polis was doing, you know, 4 years ago in backing a separate setback measure. He did obviously come out against Prop 112. He said it was inflexible and didn't allow for local control. And in that context, he meant, you know, places like Weld County deciding that they wanted to have oil and gas development. So we're going to see where the words and the rhetoric meet, you know, the actual policy conversations. And I think some of those conversations are currently going on. He's going out, but Hickenlooper said that things like, you know, increased setbacks around public parks or school property were on the table. I think that from the oil and gas industry's perspective, there are conversations, productive conversations going on. And so we'll see in the next 6 weeks from the end of November to, you know, Governor Polis's State of the State address in early January. We'll see where sort of the initial sort of anchoring of the conversation comes down, and then have a better idea what kind of tone we'll hear during the legislative session. It's kind of speculative now, but it's one of those, you know, we know where people have been. It's just a question of where they come down and where they prioritize going into the session. It sounds like folks like House Speaker Becker want to deal with this, have conversations, and get something done. But there's, like I said, an X factor in folks like State Representative Sirota, who might want to be much more assertive.
You know, and Michael, the interesting thing, though, about over on the Democrat side, now it sounds that there's some kind of radical progressive activists that have been elected. It also sounds that like there might be some cooler heads, but they typically have their fights behind closed doors and seem to, at least in the past, they seem to at least appear like they've come together. Do you anticipate that that's going to happen again this year with the Colorado Senate and legislature and House?
Well, it'd be interesting to see if anyone emerges as sort of a on the other side, from progressive activist to someone like outgoing state senator Sherry John, who switched parties from Democrat to independent, who was widely recognized as being, you know, much more pro-business Democrat. We'll see if there's any emergence of sort of those kind of overt factions. You know, Democrats are good about circling the wagons and on issues, but you know, both houses now have you know, majorities that sometimes can be a little harder to wield than being, you know, the solid and unified minority.
Okay.
So there may be folks who emerge. I mean, Representative James Coleman from Denver spoke at the rally back in July for oil and gas. And so there may be individuals like that who are part of like a cooler heads on trying to find some sort of middle ground or compromise or just a negotiating position with oil and gas industry folks. So that remains to be seen. We'll see what actually happens. But as everyone should know, since the Republicans lost the state Senate, there is no kill committee.
Right. There's no stopgap on it.
Yep. So this is going to essentially be, Republicans obviously are going to have a voice and comment on the bills, but they don't control any of the committees. And so if something is put through, it can get put through. And then, of course, it would come down to whether or not Governor Polis will sign that or veto it or how he will steer the conversation.
And Michael,
go ahead.
Well, Michael, to that point, we, the Americhicks, are going to, keep an eye on this process because it's going to be really, really important. And we need to go to break. When we come back, you have recently written a very important piece regarding the national scope. We are talking with Michael Sandoval. He is the managing editor of Western Wire. He is an energy policy expert, and he has written a very important piece regarding the national scope on energy. And so we'll be right back with Michael Sandoval.
You may be right, I may be crazy.
Yeah, Billy Joel's always good. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We're the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. All right, so in Colorado, the Coloradoans said this past election, we do not want you to put such crazy restrictions on oil and gas exploration here in Colorado because it hurts property owners, it hurts all of us. There's so many jobs, there's so much tax benefits and revenue that we get from the oil and gas industry. It's a part of Colorado, and we want
to
continue to thrive. I like heat.
Yep.
I like heat. I like my phone. You know, a lot of different things that come from it, not just gas, right? Plastics.
My shoes.
Lots of stuff. Makeup.
Skis.
Yeah. So anyway, so Michael Sandoval is the managing editor of Western Wire. He's an expert on energy policy. And in the last segment, we were talking specifically about Colorado. And Michael, you mentioned, Hickenlooper said he does not think that the new Governor Polis is going to ram down an unpopular law down people's throats when it comes to oil and gas. But I am concerned that we do have Democrat House and Democrat Senate now here at the state level. And if they pass something to go after oil and gas, I think he's going to pass it. And so since the Republicans don't really have a say and they don't have a kill committee, it's the point you made before. Everybody's got to continue to talk about oil and gas energy. We want reliable, safe, secure energy. And so we want to make sure that they don't go after that. So let's make sure that we're down at the Capitol talking about that during the next legislative session and on Facebook. Now let's move to the national level. Michael, you wrote this article, Sunrise Movement Challenges House Democratic Leadership on the Green New Deal. Now, despite traction to go after fossil fuels on the campaign trail at the national level, we do have Democrats in power now in the House of Representatives. What do you think is coming down the pike at the national level as far as going after oil and gas industry that we need to be aware of?
Well, I think, the first part of what a Democratic House means is you're going to see with obviously the takeover of House committees, probably see a look to push investigations. They're going to target Trump administration decisions, agency decisions, haul folks before the committees in D.C. and for lack of a better word. It's going to be for TV, for sort of entertainment purposes. But I think there will be some attempts, certainly by some of the new freshman House members who were elected this cycle to push for any number of different policy initiatives. The difference being the Congress is the leadership has a lot of control over what gets, what makes, what, even gets heard and gets put before committees. It's a much different process, obviously, than folks at our state capitol who, you know, every legislator gets five bills. All of those bills are heard within the session, you know, where you have a very sort of immediate debate. There could be some sitting on the more radical, you know, kind of legislation proposed. I mean, you look at someone like Governor-elect Polis, who, while he was a U.S. representative, had his own, you know, bills on things like renewable energy and mandating 100% renewables by 2050. Didn't really get a lot of, you know, a lot of traction, or didn't really hear a lot about, you know, that kind of legislation at the national level. But that was certainly a bill that he had, you know, put out there. So folks like, you know, Representative Ocasio-Cortez out of New York, who's just elected, who's kind of trying to challenge the leadership, would those measures like 100% renewables or other things, you know, what does deep decarbonization mean? What would that look like? We'll see some of that, and then there will be a very large apparatus. The Sunrise Movement, certainly part of it. These deep pocket funded activist groups will certainly be in D.C. demanding now that the Democrats have taken the House to hear these bills, to talk about these policies, and they'll be backed up by a very large, you know, eco-left media, you know, sounding board who will amplify and try to push these issues. Will the Democrats actually get legislation going? You know, we'd have to see that. But, of course, Republicans did keep the Senate, U.S. Senate, and Trump is president. So there might be a lot of sound and fury out of Congress on these issues. Certainly it'll be part of the Politico, Hill, you know, Washington Post conversation. But, you know, in actual states that are, you know, resource producing, we'll probably might be much more focused on our own state legislatures.
Well, and just a point, Ocasio-Cortez, I'm wondering who's actually pulling the strings with her. You know, she's young, she's attractive. However, over the weekend or last week, she did this little video, you know, kind of like the selfie videos, where she's talking about that we need to go to work immediately for the 2020 election. And to everybody out there, you know, the radical progressive activists are looking to 2020 and they're getting ready to get busy. So she's encouraging people to get active. But then she went on to say that we need to take back the three branches of government, the president, the presidency, the Senate, and the House.
That's not what she said. Somehow she meant.
Yeah. Somehow she forgot the judiciary. I just kind of think that our representatives should at least know that they're what the three branches of government are.
But oh, yeah.
One other thing, Michael. Regarding, you know, the big elephant in the room is the whole climate change religion that's been pushed forward. And, of course, when we've had these devastating fires out in California, which is unbelievable, I personally think that forest management is a big contributor to that.
Lack thereof.
But they're talking about the heat and the dryness. But you didn't really hear a whole lot about that. The National Weather Service reported that on Thanksgiving in New York, it was the second coldest Thanksgiving day in New York's history and the coldest since 1901. And so climate change, you know, it used to be global warming, but when you actually have some of these colder temperatures, then they changed it to climate change. It's a no-win situation to try to you know, fight the weather. I mean, how are we going to fight back on this narrative?
Well, no matter how you view that issue, climate change will be a part of the conversation, both here in Colorado, throughout the West, and at the national level. All these initiatives will be certainly served up with a heavy, you know, helping of climate change and a conversation, and they will try to use that as they have to sort of, you know, control the conversation. But, you know, one of the things we did report this year is that, you know, climate change and environmental issues are fairly low in priority for most voters. It's not necessarily the gloom and doom does not sell. They know that themselves. So, you know, when it comes to conversations that we had about Proposition 112, which lost by 10 points. You talk about jobs, you talk about the economy, you talk about doing things in a responsible manner, and most people get that. And certainly the voters of Colorado got that overwhelmingly. They understand, you know, if there's a balancing test that, you know, industry has been doing development in this state and you know, in other places in a responsible way and has been doing that, you know, for decades. So,
well,
I
you
think,
know, Michael,
I think countering that conversation with those messages can be successful.
Well, excellent. That's good to know. We are just about out of time. And so thank you so much. Where can people find Western Wire? What is your website?
WesternWire.net.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
I'm at Facebook as well.
Yeah. And
Facebook.
Yeah. Really good stuff there. And we'll keep our eyes on the process as we move through this. This was great information. Michael Sandoval, Managing Editor of Western Wire. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm going to post this Western Wire article on the Ameritech's Facebook page as well, so you can read it. It's interesting where he's talking about even Pelosi calling for a House Select Committee on Global Warming. And even though the people said this is not what they want to talk about this year, they're going for it anyway.
Well, the veil is off. We're going to see if the radical progressive activists want to govern and represent the people, or if they're going to push forward agendas. And
we will find out.
And the Ameritech's Molly Vogt and Kim Munson will be keeping our eyes on the process every Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 a.m. with encore broadcasts in the afternoon. We started with this quote. We'll end with this quote by Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1956. If a political party does not have its foundation in the determination to advance a cause that is right and that is moral, then it is not a political party. It is merely a conspiracy to seize power.
Feels like a conspiracy to seize power to me right now in America.
Kind of looking like that.
Keep our eyes on the process. This is the Ameritech Show. Have a great day. God bless you. God bless America. To cry, but tell